Richard and Dor walked into the light. And then it was dark and chill, and Richard was blinking at the retinal after image of the light, which left him almost blinded. A ghostly series of orange-green splotches that slowly faded as his eyes accustomed themselves to the darkness that surrounded them. They were in a huge hall, carved from rock. Iron pillars, black and rust-dusted, held up the roof, went off into the distant dark, perhaps for miles. From somewhere he could hear the gentle splash of water. A fountain, perhaps, or a spring. Dor was still holding his hand, tightly. In the distance, a tiny flame flickered and flared, and another, and then another. It was a host of candles flickering into flame, Richard realized. And walking toward them through the candles was a tall figure dressed in a simple white robe. The figure seemed to be moving slowly, but it must have been walking very fast, as it was only seconds before it was standing beside them. It had golden hair and a pale face. It was not much taller than Richard, but it made him feel like a little child. It was not a man. It was not a woman. It was very beautiful. Its voice was quiet. It said, "The Lady Dor, yes?" Dor said, "Yes." A gentle smile. It nodded its head to her, almost humbly. "It is an honor, finally, to meet you and your companion. I am the angel Islington." Its eyes were clear and wide. Its robes were not white, as Richard had initially thought. They seemed to have been woven from a light. Richard did not believe in angels. He had never believed in angels. He was damned if he was going to start now. Still, it was much easier not to believe in something when it's not actually looking directly at you and saying your name. "Richard Mayhew," it said. "You, too, are welcome here, in my halls." It turned away. "Please," it said, "follow me." Richard and Dor followed the angel through the caverns. The candles extinguished themselves behind them. The Marquis de Carabas strode through the empty hospital, broken glass and old syringes crunching beneath his square-toed black motorcycle boots. He stepped through a double door that led into a back staircase. He went down the stairs to the cellars beneath the hospital. He walked through the rooms beneath the building, stepping fastidiously around the heaps of mouldering rubbish. He walked through the showers and the toilets, down an old iron staircase through a wet, swampy place, and then he pulled open a half-rotted wooden door and went inside. He looked around the room in which he found himself. He inspected with magnificent disdain the half-eaten kitten and the heap of razor blades. Then he cleared the debris off a chair and sat down comfortably, luxuriantly, in the dankness of the cellar, and he closed his eyes. Eventually, the door to the cellar was opened, and people came in. The Marquis de Carabas opened his eyes and yawned. Then he flashed Mr. Croup and Mr. Vandemar a huge smile. "Hello, boys," said de Carabas. "I thought it high time I came down here to talk to you, in person."